The 2010 congressional ballot was tagged as a change election across the country, with big wins for Republicans and Tea Party activists. The conservatives' most visible victory was their takeover of the House of Representatives while making gains in the U.S. Senate. But the GOP also dramatically increased their control of state legislatures from 14 to 26, while winning total control of 21 states' governor seats and legislatures. In contrast, Democrats now reign in only 11 states, down from 16. Bucking the tide of November's Republican sweep, the state of Connecticut elected its first Democratic Party governor in 20 years, with Democrats retaining control of both houses of the state legislature. In his first 6 months in office as the state's new governor, Daniel Malloy and the legislature decriminalized possession of small quantities of marijuana, passed a bill to protect transgender citizens, established an early prisoner release program, increased taxes by $1.4 billion, and enacted a bill to mandate a specific set of employers in service-related industries to provide paid sick days to their workers, the first of its kind in the nation. Proponents of the new sick leave legislation was the Working Families Party of Connecticut that campaigned hard for the bill over the last several years with allies including unions, religious leaders, small business owners, and public health advocates. Among opponents were Walmart, Burger King, and CBIA, the state's largest business association. Between the lines, Scott Harris spoke with John Green, executive director of Connecticut's Working Families Party, who talks about the benefits of the paid sick days bill, how they won passage, and interest in proposing similar measures across the U.S.
You know, the issue of paid sick days is one that I think a lot of people do tend to take for granted, certainly sort of white-collar employees or professional employees mostly get paid sick leave and kind of assume that other people do as well. But the reality is that among hourly employees and especially low-wage employees, an astonishingly high percentage do not receive any paid sick leave. Among low-income workers, it's about three-quarters of low-wage workers who don't receive any paid sick time. And so what this bill will do, it's not asking for an enormous amount, but it allows employees to earn up to 5 paid sick days per year. The paid sick time is earned on an accrual basis. So employees will earn 1 hour of paid sick leave for every 40 hours that they work, up to a maximum of 40 hours annually. And that time can be used to recuperate from an illness, to care for a child or a spouse when they have an illness, for medical appointments, or to get services relating to an incident of family violence or sexual assault. So for those reasons, this will make, I think, the lives of several hundred thousand, mostly low-wage employees, mostly women, make their lives a little bit easier in that they'll have a little bit of economic security when they happen to become ill. I think there's also a very important public health aspect to this policy, because what we have found is that the employees who tend to not have paid sick leave are concentrated in exactly the industries where you wouldn't want people coming to work sick. So, for example, daycare providers or home health care aides or nursing home workers or restaurant employees. These are the occupations that have the least paid sick leave coverage currently. And under this bill, many of those employees will now have this benefit. So it's not just a question of fairness for the employee. It's also a question of health. You know, do you want the person who is taking care of your child at the daycare center or taking care of a parent or grandparent in a nursing home? Do you want that person to feel compelled to come to work when they have an illness? It's just sort of common sense that that shouldn't happen.
John, what would you say the most significant compromise that had to be made in order to get passage of this bill?
You know, the legislative process is a process of compromise. There was certainly negotiation and give and take along the way. The biggest change in the bill by far was that it was narrowed to really apply to service workers. So it's not universal, doesn't cover every employee in the state. It does apply to businesses with 50 or more employees, which is similar to the way the Family Medical Leave Act works. And it applies to service workers. Now, that's been reported as, you know, in various media, sort of a major concession. But I got to tell you, when we look at the practical side of this in terms of which types of employees would genuinely benefit from this bill, we're really talking about service workers anyway. What we found is that in the manufacturing sector or in, you know, IT or utilities or other, you know, higher paying jobs, most of these employees, the vast majority, were already receiving benefits that were comparable to what this bill required. It really was in the service industry when you talk about restaurant workers and school bus drivers and daycare providers and home health aides. That's where we really found that these benefits weren't being provided by the employer. So, you know, my view is that focusing on those workers was really, that just meant we're covering the people who don't have it now. Didn't seem like an enormous amount to give up in terms of substance, but I do think, you know, from the point of view of sort of symbolism or the cosmetics of it, it was helpful in terms of getting the bill passed.
What's been the reaction nationally to this groundbreaking legislation, John? You have a lot of interest from cities and states who want to try something similar in their own backyard?
I think it's definitely beginning to sort of percolate up in a bigger way than it has in the past. Philadelphia is considering a paid sick leave policy that I think will be voted on by their city council within the next couple of weeks. In New York City, there's a rebirth of interest in this issue. You know, they're going to have mayoral elections coming up not too far down the road, and people are beginning to look at themselves and position themselves. And this is one of those big issues that is going to help define that race. And I think, the overwhelming majority of New Yorkers strongly support a paid sick days policy, and I think that's going to play out in the municipal politics of New York and will likely lead to a victory there sometime relatively soon. And there's places like Seattle and Denver that are considering this. I think Massachusetts, in terms of states, Massachusetts could well be the next state to do it. You know, you got to remember, looking at things like child labor laws or the 40-hour work week, you know, things we just sort of take for granted now, began at the state level. And it took time, but over a period of decades, those policies became the norm and ultimately federal law. I expect that something like paid sick days will follow a similar trajectory.
That was John Green, Executive Director of the Working Families Party of Connecticut. Find links to more information about Connecticut's paid sick days legislation by visiting our website at btlonline.org.